Article 26 of the Charter provides that the judgment of the tribunal as to the guilt or innocence of any defendant shall give the reasons on which it is based. The tribunal will now state those reasons in declaring its judgment on such guilt or innocence.
50 years ago, the eyes of the world were fixed on the small, shattered German city of Nuremberg. It was there, among the rubble of bombed-out buildings, that the world would finally see the faces behind the crimes of the Second World War. Hermann Göring was tried there. So was Albert Speer, Rudolf Hess, and Polish Governor General Hans Frank. They looked like ordinary men sitting there in the dock before the International Tribunal, but these men committed extraordinary crimes. And it was at Nuremberg that most were finally made to answer for their disgraces against humanity. After the Holocaust, the world said never again. But just last year, the United Nations created a Bosnian War Crimes Tribunal, a stark reminder of lessons unlearned since Nuremberg. We've all heard the old adage, if we don't learn from our history, we are doomed to repeat it. Well, a timely exhibit at the College of St. Rose in Albany challenges us to learn the lessons of the Holocaust once again. Anne Frank, Lessons for Humanity, is an international photographic exhibit. It's a visual history of Anne Frank's life during the war. It documents the rise of Hitler and the Nazi Party. And finally, the exhibit shows us the faces of hatred and bigotry today. Over 5,000 students are scheduled to visit the exhibit. They will take guided tours of the photographs, see a film strip about Anne Frank, and hear the stories of Dr. Stephanie Isser and other Holocaust survivors. The 86-year-old Isser, whose friends call her Susie, was born in Vienna. She worked there as a lawyer until Kristallnacht, the night of breaking glass and the symbolic start of the Holocaust. After that night, her husband was taken to the Dachau concentration camp. With tears streaming down her face, Dr. Isser says educating our children is the only way to fight bigotry.
We still have hatred in this world, and they are the future. I mean, the older people, maybe they are already impregnated with this hatred, but the children are still an open book. And if we can reach them and tell them that this is not good, and that they are the future, and they should make a better future for them, for us. Their fathers, their grandfathers, they're in the war, and they have to fight because very often because of prejudice, black against white, Jews against Christians, and so on. So if they have this lesson, then they should look for other ways to straighten out differences.
As I take you through the exhibit, this is a story not just about Anne Frank. And what I want you to think about is that this is a story about my mother and about millions of other young Jewish children that this happened to.
Today, about 15 students from the Estes Middle School in Gloversville, New York, visit the Anne Frank exhibit. They gather around a docent, transfixed. They are looking at photographs of Anne Frank and her sister, both dressed in bathing suits, playing on a beach just like any other teenage girls. But as this photographic history of the Holocaust unfolds, the 79 panels which make up the exhibit become more disturbing. Students read historic documents hinting at a final solution. They examine news photos of Jews in concentration camp strikes and study pictures of Hitler Youth. Charles DeLilly has been teaching 8th graders at the Estes Middle School for 20 years. Anne Frank and the Holocaust are part of his American history curriculum.
The question that comes over and over again is, how could the people that were involved in this let it happen? How come they didn't try to get away? They don't understand how a dictator can brainwash millions of people into thinking the same things and doing inhumane, unspeakable acts. They don't understand it. And at this exhibit, they're learning how it is a fact. It does happen.
That is Anton Seagor's rallying cry. It happened, and it happened to him. Like Susie Isser, Seagor is a Holocaust survivor.
I was in 4 concentration camps: Auschwitz, Birkenau, in Poland, in Buchenwald, that's in Germany, in Mauthausen, in Günzkirchen, in Albany. I was in 4 different death camps. I survived.
Seagor is one of several survivors who speak to students at the Anne Frank exhibit. He tells a frightening story of survival.
One memory stands out, that I was in front of the gas chamber, with my father, who was at that time, he was 72 years old. And we were selected to be gas because they didn't think that I was strong enough to work. And my father was too old to work. And I did not want to let my father's jacket go. I was holding on to him. And all of a sudden, a Polish Jewish inmate grabbed me and threw me to the other side of the road. It was dark. The Germans were very clever to schedule arrival to the death camp. Dark and nasty weather to confuse us. And with that, I survived that. I was sent to a work camp near nearby factory. I was 15 years old, and I was a very small person, but very strong in attitude. That's what helped to save me. That I never saw my father again, my brothers and sisters. 98% of my family was gassed and wound up in the crematorium.
50 years after coming to America, this Hungarian survivor's dual passion is confronting Holocaust deniers and teaching students about the Holocaust. Sigor says when speaking to kids, he has two goals.
To see the students that, yes, it is not a myth, it's not a hoax that the Holocaust existed. And they're going to be witnesses for future. That's what I'm lecturing to them. I appoint them as my ambassador of goodwill for the future because I'm 71 years old. Nobody lives forever. And they will be my messengers for the future. That yes, they spoke to a Holocaust survivor who was actually there and related what took place in those camps. And they will tell the future generation, yes, for the Holocaust during the Second World War.
The fact that Holocaust survivors are getting older hasn't escaped the attention of one of the exhibit's coordinators. Shelley Shapiro is the executive director of the Holocaust Friends and Survivors Education Center in Latham, New York. She says her group's main goal is to get survivors to speak to as many students as they can while they're still with us.
This is what we are preparing for the last 11 years. And that is that we make Holocaust education mandatory, which it is in New York State, that we make Holocaust education learning about how what happened to Anne Frank happened. We put that permanently within the consciousness of young people. They will take the message that survivors have left with them, and they will have seen the real live people. But they will take the message. We work on Holocaust education here. That's why we sponsor the exhibit. That's why we do all the programs. It will continue.
So far, the Education Center has produced 65 videotapes as part of its Witness to History project.
So yes, the video project is there. It started here before Spielberg made Schindler's List.
Well, now, let's see. You were not ordinarily in the habit in the Reichsbank of accepting jewels, eyeglass spectacles, watches, cigarette cases, pearls, diamonds, gold dentures, were you? Did you ordinarily accept that sort of material for deposit in your bank?
After walking through the Anne Frank exhibit, there are three lessons students are asked to come away with. The first is to be a witness. Tell and retell the lessons of the Holocaust you learned here today. Next, fight those who would say it never happened. And finally, students are asked to stand up against racism. Marlena Lobel and John LaMotta are both eighth graders at the Estes Middle School. They just finished walking through the exhibit and listening to Anton Sigor's story.
Yeah, I would definitely stand up for anyone that was being made fun of for a certain color or race or religion that they are.
I just learned that same thing that he said. I also learned that if I ever hear anybody saying a racial remark against to any of my friends, because I have friends that are different color skin and other friends that are Jewish, I should go up and stand up for them, tell those people not to do that. I think that more people should do that, and I think that's what they're trying to teach us today.
And now we come to the end of the exhibit, which talks about coming to terms with the past, and also, what about the future? What about now? Is there still prejudice, and is there still discrimination today? Yes. And is it something that you see every day, or is it just happening elsewhere? Yes, it's happening everywhere. And what I'd like to say to you is that when you see discrimination happen, you can make a choice, because who were the people that did discriminate? It wasn't just Germany, it wasn't just the Nazis, it was ordinary people. Hitler would not have been able to do what he did without the help of ordinary people.
Over the last 50 years, Anne Frank has become the tragic symbol of the Holocaust. She is the human face representing the numbers. Exhibit chair Deborah Tano says girls all over the world identify with Anne Frank, and her story is just as relevant today as it was during the time of the Nazis.
Several years ago, we received a letter from the Anne Frank, or the Anne Frank House received a letter, and they called us about it, and it was from a Bosnian child, a little girl, who said that no one knows about us. We're living like, I've just read a story about Anne Frank, and we're living like Anne Frank, and we're studying in cellars, and we can't go out of our homes, and no one knows about us.
Holocaust survivor and peace activist Dr. Stephanie Isser gets emotional when she hears stories like this one. Her mission is a simple one. Use exhibits like this one at St. Rose to stop the intolerance.
Well, I think Anne Frank is a tool to teach them what prejudice leads to misunderstanding, to not liking, to hatred, to violence, and finally to death.
One of the middle school students at the exhibit said that looking at Anne Frank is like looking into a mirror. Anne's wry smile and hopeful, intelligent eyes are echoed in the faces of 13-year-olds all over the world. Although Anne and much of her family perished in the camps like 6 million others during the war, her story is still one filled with hope, and her lesson is still one we need to learn. You have to wonder what Anne would think about the state of the world today. She'd be 67. For WAMC News, I'm Susan Arbetter.